You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to Training Matters. I'm Honey Shelton, and today our show is about managing customer conflict. I know you'll agree that is a topic near and dear to your heart, since so many of you are on the front line handling phone calls or branch visits from customers. Our guest is Teresa Allen. She's an expert on the topic. I'm excited to hear what she has to say today. Teresa, welcome to the show. Tell us about who you are and what your experience with training those in financial institutions is all about.
Well, thank you, honey, for inviting me to be part of the show. It's great to be here and to share some thoughts with your listeners. I actually was involved in sales to financial institutions for a number of years through a check company and then became a national trainer for them and wrote some sales and customer service training programs. In 2002, I wrote a book called Common Sense Service, Close Encounters on the Front Lines, and that led to me speaking and doing keynotes at conventions for just about every type of industry, although banks and credit unions are always close to my heart. I have branched out from that, but you know, in every type of industry, being able to manage customer conflict and complaints is a critical skill.
Well, Teresa, I love hearing about your background, and we have some things in common since we both have a lot of history with financial institutions, but you've piqued my interest when you said other industries. What would you say are some of the most unusual types of businesses that have asked you to speak on this topic?
Well, you know, when I'm asked that, there's one that always comes to mind, and that's that I spoke at the Funeral Service Business Forum out in Las Vegas, and a short while after that, I had a spinoff that was the American Pet Cemetery and Crematory Association. So I think that proves that service is important to every single type of business. Wouldn't you agree, honey?
Oh, absolutely, and that just tickles my funny bone because I do think that's a good illustration of how every industry that has a service, a product, a brand that they want to protect, they are interested in how the customer experience and interactions happen. And of course, the bell always rings loud when the customer is upset. Thinking back to financial institutions, from time to time, employees there certainly encounter conflict or complaints from their customer. What do you think sparks conflict between a business and a customer?
Well, particularly in financial institutions, you know, when you're dealing with people's money, that's close to their heart. So conflict can arise, and we see that it often arises from some very specific areas. One could obviously be if the bank or the credit union makes some sort of error on the customer's account. Another, though, sometimes is when a customer or a member of a credit union makes an error themselves. You know, they do something wrong or they fail to bring some kind of documentation with them that causes an error. And then, of course, both banks and credit unions have policies, internal policies that can cause conflict. Then moving outside of the financial institution, another area that causes some level of anguish with customers is federal and state regulation. So those are really four completely different areas where conflict or complaints can originate.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's nothing more offensive to a account holder than what they perceive to be an error. Do you think that these types of conflicts, do you think they should be handled differently, or should a training department at a financial institution say, here's what you do when this happens? tell me more about what you would do if that was your job to train those experts out there in the field.
That is a great point. Sometimes I think it's really a shame, and I'm sure you as a financial institution specialist would agree with me, it's a shame when people get rather generic training, because it is quite different when you're dealing with financial resources than if you're, you know, at Walmart buying a kid's birthday present. So, you know, we have to realize that there are certain triggers in financial institutions, and that if we know they're there, we have to be prepared for them. So say the bank or the credit union makes an error in someone's account. Well, a natural response might be to explain how that error happened to the customer. The reality of the situation is, and I always say we have to put on our customer hat when we're dealing with a customer service situation and think, what would we want? Well, you and I, we don't really care why something happened. We just want it fixed. And that's something that I try to emphasize to folks is that, you know, we might go back later and figure out how did this happen so it doesn't happen again, but first address what's premier in the customer's mind. Maybe they wrote a check and they thought there was money in their account to cover the check. And maybe, you know, we talked about Walmart earlier, maybe Walmart encoded that check incorrectly. And as a result, the customer's account was out of balance. Well, if I'm the customer, I don't really much care whose fault, whether it was Walmart's or the bank's fault, that my mortgage check to someone else bounced. I just want it fixed. So we have to put an emphasis on making it right and then maybe later explaining to the customer how that happened. And that is really completely different than if the customer themselves made an error. And people might be wondering, well, you know, how could the customer make an error that would cause some conflict? Well, a lot of our customers in a bank or a credit union have many accounts, and one of the things we see for in-person transactions and now even in online transactions is sometimes folks don't have their account number handy. And so maybe they'll just walk up to the teller and say, put this in my, quote, checking account. Well, maybe the person has a money market checking and a regular checking account, and, you know, they didn't designate which one, and somehow the money gets put in the wrong one. Obviously, had the customer brought in the deposit slip or had the number written down, that error would not have happened. But if I start that encounter by educating the customer, their ears will not even be open. So I think it's important we train our representatives to handle that error situation, whether it was caused by us or the customer. And then after it's been handled and they have confidence that the resolution is there, then we can explain any other outside issues, such as documentation they should have brought or keeping their, you know, list of account numbers handy, that sort of thing. Those two types of errors. And then, of course, we get into the other one I mentioned, which would be policies. And policies and regs, they're similar but yet different, because usually a policy is something that the bank or the credit union decided, whereas the regulation is something that the state or federal government decided. So there's quite a difference there. And our customers can be pretty savvy. Would you agree, honey? they know what a policy is and that it can be bent. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So because they know that, they figure, well, it's like a yellow light and I can go around that and I can ask for that to be waived. You know, we might think, well, this person has a couple $100,000 on deposit with us. I better waive it for them. But what we don't realize is if we just snap to doing that, that we're kind of training that customer into some bad behavior. And that maybe the next time the next representative won't be willing to or won't know the history of having waived that policy before. And then we get into a really, really difficult situation, because oftentimes, honey, we think that, you know, we're being compared to another business for our service, but many times we're being compared to our last encounter with that same business. And different representatives doing different things can bring on conflict in and of itself. And then, you know, when we do move to federal and state regulations, and heaven knows there are enough of those these days, That's a whole different ball game. Something that I'm sure you talk about in your training that I talk about in mine is we need to fix the problem, not fix the blame, as we've already discussed today. But this is the one time where I really do train people to put the blame squarely on the governing body who decided that I can or cannot do a certain thing. And I even have groups in training repeat the sentence, you know, the federal government, with a lot of emphasis, has designated that we are not allowed to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. Why would we say that? Well, you know, at 4 o'clock on Friday, most people will not try and change federal government law, whereas they might try and work around a policy. So there's a little bit different response that you get if you do lead the conversation with that. And, you know, the other thing is, why should we take the heat for that? We didn't decide that. The government did. And even mentioning to the customer that every financial institution follow that guideline kind of makes the customer understand that this isn't some snap judgment we just made. It's something that we really can't go around, and it serves as a red light. And because, you know, they're used to those yellow light policies, we want to make sure and distinguish between those two. So, you know, that's just a quick rundown of four different encounters.
Awesome. Yeah, I really like how you categorize those four. I can see that. And you're right. And some of the work that I do that comes up. And it sounds also like it's very important from your perspective that the employee be involved in role play, know how to handle this, be prepared. That comfort level goes up when there's conflict. If you're able to stay calm like an ambulance driver, you know, in the middle of a crisis, I think a lot can be learned from different encounters that come up and what to do and what it's like when you or I or our listeners even are the customer. When I say that, what does that bring to mind for you?
Well, you know, when you were talking, and I hate to interrupt you there, but I kind of started giggling to myself in my head because I remember years ago when I did training for AIB chapters. And, of course, there for the listeners now, AIB is now morphed into something called CFT, and you may be more familiar with that. But the American Institute of Banking chapters, they bring a lot of folks in from all the local financial institutions in the city. And I would do a big training on a topic like this, and I'd get to that particular thing, the difference between policies and regulations. And as you mentioned, having folks act out a specific encounter is really great. Well, I had these two folks come down in the front of the room. One was supposed to play the little old lady who had lots of money, and she had her diamond ring locked in the safe deposit box. And the young man who was supposed to, you know, not let her in because she was not signed on the box, even if you have the key and you're not signed on, the federal government says you can't get in there. So she was quite an actress. She was saying, I need in the box. I want in the box. And he looked over to her and he said, well, I'm sorry, but you'll never fit. And the whole room just erupted in laughter. And, you know, that's what I think is so great about making training fun, is those participants remembered that forever, just as I remember it forever. And so much better than just saying, you know, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. to let folks have a little bit of fun in training when you're talking about things like that.
Oh, that's a great story. I love it. It kind of pops one for me. I can remember what feels like 100 years ago. I was in new accounts at a bank, and an older gentleman came in to open a safe deposit box, and he said, you know, I want you to be really clear about one thing. If something happens to me, I want to be positive that my son can get into this box. And I said, we're going to follow whatever you tell us to do. And he said, well, if you don't, you know, I'm going to come back in and be very upset. And of course, he'd already told me, you know, that if something happened to him, that's when he wanted another authorized signer to come in. And I think the customer sometimes just doesn't even realize, they don't quite understand how they're coming across. But the idea is, you know, that we find a workaround and tell them the truth and do what we can and help them get what they want. Anybody who thinks about customer conflict thinks about anger and people who are angry. Do you think different people express anger and complaints in different ways?
Well, yes, I think absolutely. And I think they have really different levels of anger and upset when they approach a representative, either on the phone or even in person. And now, even through a chat or an online encounter. So I would say there's three different levels of anger: a controlled anger, expressed anger, and then irrational anger. And the kind of natural inclination might be to think, well, I'd rather have the person who's in controlled anger. I'd rather deal with them. They might be easier to deal with, but in my humble opinion, they represent the greatest possible danger of lost business, because they are not in our face telling us exactly what we did wrong and what we need to do. Might be, you know, a regular customer, and you say, well, good morning, Mrs. Jones, you know, how are you today? And she says, fine. And just by the expression on her face and her tone of voice, you know everything is not fine, but she's not telling you what it is. So we really have to open up that person and get them talking, because the danger would be, if we don't, they may exit stage right, taking their money and accounts with them, and we'll never see them again, and we'll never know why they left. So we have to be good readers of body language. Everyone, I think, should be encouraged to get a few books on body language and read it, but not just worry about how we project it, but also how we read it from our customers and members. So that would be controlled anger. So I'd want to ask some open-ended questions, because if I ask what you and I as trainers call the close-in is our can have, they're just going to sit there and say, yes, no, no. And it'll be like the Spanish Inquisition. So we have to ask those newspaper questions like what, why, how, and so forth to get them talking so that we can even understand what's going on. And then the person who's in expressed anger is quite different. They're not only happy to tell us what we did wrong, but if they're in person in our lobby, they may wish to entertain everyone else in the lobby as well with what we did wrong. So in some form, I believe they're almost on stage giving a performance. We need to try and get them off their stage, but we can't just say, well, let's go to a more private location, because then they'll even get more upset. So we have to be a little bit creative and say, well, you know, this certainly demands our immediate attention. Let's go sit down and talk about this. So making that person feel important and restating what they've said, but kind of letting them, as long as they're not in a public area, letting them get it all out. Because what we find, and I think most of us could be a little self-convicting on this, sometime when we've been upset and we've called or gone into a business, it's almost like we wrote a little script. And we had a beginning and a middle and an end. And if we're interrupted, we're likely to rewind and start all over again. So with that person in expressed anger, we do want to let them express it. But then once they have, then we have some specific steps to first calm the person down and then handle their issue. And one of the things that I find observing staff, you know, any type of business really, when they're upset is, you know, one of the greatest challenges, honey, I think you'd agree, is keeping ourselves calm. And we all have our own warning signals. I mean, mine are that, you know, my neck is turning red and there's steam coming out of my ears that I can almost feel. But, you know, everyone is a little different. So I encourage people to recognize those early warning signs and try and realize, hey, you know, you're being sucked into the level of anger of this customer. We need to kind of turn off that vacuum and focus on the issue at hand and not their level of anger. The final one, you know, the irrational anger, I have a lot of fun in my training, and I know you do as well, but this is the one time I get a little serious, because I do believe we're all given this little God-given warning signal that if something just isn't right, that's why we have all of our internal security procedures, and I always point people back to whatever their financial institution has trained them, that if they have that internal alarm go off that something is not right, especially in an in-person encounter, you know, maybe that irrationality was caused by an outside influence like drugs or alcohol. Well, all the steps in the world that you or I could train someone on are not going to work in that event. But it could be irrationality just caused by a bad day. And so in that case, once again, we need to stay calm and get them calm. But unfortunately, in today's world, we do need to be worried about that outside possibility that we need to call in our security measure. So those are just a few different levels of anger that people could have.
Oh, I really like how you described that. And I think that was such good advice, demonstration, role play, what to do if, that kind of thing. Looking back to my early days as a teller, it would have benefited me a great deal if I'd had, you know, even the tips that you just handed over, to realize that there's different situations and how you can respond. And when that bell goes off, that alarm that you mentioned, you take this action. And when you have someone who's not a good listener or is loud, you take this action. And when someone is doing that passive aggressive anger, you take another approach to help get that resolved. This has been so awesome. You know, I want to kind of go from the in-person situation to the world we live in today so often, and that is social media. How would you say the advent of social media has added or changed or influenced the conflict and complaint puzzle?
Well, can you say United Airlines? I hate to bring that up, but it certainly is the bellwether example of today of how one person's encounter can be magnified into millions of, in that case, viewers of a YouTube video, totally changed the picture. You know, the statistics years and years ago were that, you know, if you were happy, you'd tell a few people. If you were unhappy, you'd probably tell twice that many. And now, with the advent of social media, it's almost like we can't afford to have a single bad encounter. Now, in the real world, obviously, bad things will happen, but it's really pointed out to every type of business how critically important it is that we know how to handle every situation, as you mentioned, not just in a generic sense, but in very specific examples to our staff of what to do when this happens and so forth. The other thing that I think is very important for financial institutions, especially for smaller ones who maybe have lagged behind adapting all of the social media channels, and maybe they have a consultant come in and tell them, well, you know, you need to be on Twitter and you need to be on Facebook and you need to be on LinkedIn and you need to be on Instagram. And they kind of get overwhelmed and they try and do it all. What I always advise people to do is to make sure that if you take something on, you can monitor it and manage it. I once heard at a conference, I love listening to the other speakers, and I'll never forget hearing another speaker saying that if you opened a Twitter account and then you never went in and participated in it or listened to what people were saying, it would be akin to opening a call center and never answering the phone. Is that not a great visual? And too often, unfortunately, especially with smaller financial institutions, that's exactly what happened. My advice would be to take it on, you know, one step or one social media channel at a time, but yet realize that your customer today, you know, recent studies have shown that customers want a choice of channel because, you know, a certain percentage would rather pick up the phone and call you, and then some others would rather just send out a tweet, and others would rather have that chat box pop up so they can be ordering their latest purchase on Amazon while they're complaining to you about whatever. It is very almost personality driven from the customer end as to what channel they want, and we do have to eventually get there where we are present in at least the major channels, but to not try and do it all at once, because doing it halfway is almost more dangerous than not doing it at all.
I think that is so true. I fly United a lot, and I know that had to be, for anyone who works there, you know, a truly embarrassing moment. This has been so informative. I've always enjoyed my time around you. Teresa and I both participate routinely at the Bank Trainers Conference. So if there's any trainers on here that want to have a booster shot that'll last about 12 months, you know, email me and ask me about the Trainers Conference that was just held in May or June. I think it was June in San Diego. So Teresa, thanks a million for being on here. Before we wrap up, I would love for you to let our listeners know, if they want to know more about you, where to get your book, what you do, where you're going to speak next, and all of that. What are a couple of really good ways to get in touch with you?
Well, I'll be happy to provide that. But first, I hope you don't mind if I give you a little plug, honey. I know that you have a fantastic Train the Trainer program that I've heard lots of folks say is wonderful. So I hope people will look that up on your end as well. But I, at this point, I am doing a lot of presenting for conferences, whether it be credit union conferences or banking conferences or even individual bank or credit union training days. And the best way to find out what I have for that or any other type of program is on my website, which is Allen Speaks with an S on the end. So it's AllenSpeaks.com. And I do, of course, have lots of video clips, and my blog is on the website as well. It is also syndicated by a site that I would recommend to all your listeners, which is CustomerThink.com. They have about probably 150 different customer service expert authors on there, so it's a great resource. And then I also suggest that folks follow me on Twitter, because I do post a lot from the world of customer service on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Teresa Allen, at TeresaAllen, and I encourage folks to follow me there, and we can get connected, and just love to hear the true stories of what has happened in your financial institution. I'm sure, honey, you do as well, because those are the things that make our concepts come to life for participants. My book is called Common Sense Service, Close Encounters on the Front Lines. And for all the trainers out there, one of the greatest exercises you can do is have your folks come in a training session and tell their stories of what made them happy or what made them upset, because they enjoy doing it and they learn so very much from it. But thank you so much for having me today. I totally enjoyed being with you, and look forward to the next time we can get together.
Oh, that's great. Teresa, thanks so much for being with us. Listeners, I know you valued this information today. It's one that matters to all of us that try to build a brand and keep our customers happy. I'll look forward to being with you again next month for another episode of Training Matters. Thanks again for tuning in.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.